Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this hump day, Wednesday, November 29, 2017. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We've got a loaded show, as we customarily do. Right here, hot and ready for you on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We will be talking about the latest college football playoff rankings that were revealed last night on ESPN. This will be the final rankings. I should say this is the final rankings before the real deal McNeil takes place next week. This is championship week. And I must say, though, this week and last night was probably the most intriguing batch of rankings, considering how everything panned out in the world of college football on Saturday. So we will dissect the latest college football playoff rankings and talk about what this week's rankings mean for teams this upcoming championship weekend. We'll also talk about the Michigan State football team and dissect exactly where you may want to start thinking about traveling to when it comes to Michigan State's bowl game. Where will Michigan State most likely play at? So we'll talk about that. We'll also update you all on the Detroit Lions playoff picture in light of the loss to the Minnesota Vikings on Turkey Day last week. What are the chances that the Honolulu Blue can make the NFL playoffs? And then on the back end of the show, we will invite a dear friend of ours, James Edwards III, to our airwaves. James, of course, is a former high school sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal, now with the Athletic Detroit, covering the Detroit Pistons. And boy, oh boy, my Pistons have looked good so far this season, sitting at second place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Can you believe that? They actually knocked off the Boston Celtics, who lead the NBA's East. They did so 2 days ago. Pretty impressive stuff. So James will join us on the airwaves to talk about what it's been like covering this team so far. And I'll be asking him what in the world is in the water at Little Caesars Arena right now as it pertains to the Detroit Pistons, because they are playing fantastic basketball. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know there are multiple ways in which you can do that. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media. Two ways in which you can do that. Just simply go to Facebook.com/current sports. We have the live stream up and running. You can comment below the live stream, and I'll do my best to get to your comments right below that video. Also, via Twitter, tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. we have an update on the Dr. Larry Nassar, I should say, charges. You know, we brought to you an update on this story last week. And in a plea hearing in Eden County court this morning, the ex-MSU and USA Gymnastics doctor, Larry Nassar, agreed to plead guilty to 3 counts of criminal sexual conduct. One incident involved a victim under the age of 13 years old. The charges he pled guilty to today were last brought against him. He pleaded guilty to 3 child pornography charges in federal court on July 11th and pleaded guilty to 7 counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct in Ingham County last week. Now, today, Nassar agreed to a minimum sentence guideline between 25 and 40 years in prison for each count, with a chance to spend life in prison. He originally faced 13 charges in Eden County, but per the plea deal, 4 counts will be dismissed and 6 will be reduced. Nassar will be sentenced on January 31st of next year. Survivors of his abuse will be allowed to speak before his sentencing, giving 125 women the potential to do that and speak if they choose. All right, the 5th edition of the college football playoff rankings were revealed last night, and the top 4 teams were shaken up a bit as Alabama and the University of Miami dropped out with losses last week, as Auburn, who beat Alabama last week in the Iron Bowl, moved up to number 2. How about that? The undefeated Wisconsin Badgers also moved up to number 4 from number 5 this week, while Clemson moved up to numero uno from number 2, and Oklahoma moved from number 3 to number 4. Now, the Spartans still sit at number 16 in the nation, even after a 40-7 win against, though it's lowly, Rutgers this past Saturday. The 4 teams that will be participating in the college football playoffs will be officially announced on Sunday at noon on ESPN. That's after conference title games take place on Saturday. So we'll have much chatter and much dialogue centered on the latest rankings of the college football playoff in just a moment. Also, for you Spartan fans out there, do you agree with the number 16 rank for Michigan State? And where do you think the Spartans will play? What bowl? What bowl game does Michigan State deserve? All right, and speaking of Michigan State football, sophomore safety David Dow was the lone Spartan to earn all Big Ten selections by the media. The Big Ten announced that yesterday. A total of 11 Spartans, though, received all-conference recognition on defense and special teams. Sophomore linebacker Joe Bocci and sophomore defensive end Kenny Willekes earned third-team honors, while Dow, cornerback Justin Lane, and safety Kari Willis, and freshman corner Josiah Scott earned honorable mention by Big Ten coaches. The media honored Bocci, Willekes, and Scott as third-team selections, while Lane Willis and freshman kicker Matt Coughlin, senior linebacker Chris Fry, punter Jake Hartbarger, defensive tackle Mike Panishuk, and defensive tackle Raquan Williams earned honorable mentions. MSU moved up to number 16, as I mentioned, in the College Football Playoff Bowl. We'll have an update on their bowl chances in just a moment. The Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team will look to improve to 7-1 tonight as they will travel to Chapel Hill to take on the number 13 North Carolina Tar Heels. Tip time set for 7:30 p.m. on ESPN as a part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Michigan is currently on a 3-game win streak, including 2 wins in the Maui Jim Maui Invitational out in Hawaii, and a dominating 87-42 win over UC Riverside. Tar Heels are coming off their worst offensive game in program history against the Spartans this past Sunday, as they shot 24.6% from the field in that 63-45L to MSU in the PK-80 Victory Bracket Championship game. All right, with college basketball underway, high school basketball is underway also. And last night marked the official start of girls high school hoops here in the area. We'll have multiple score updates for you on the back end of the show. We'll revisit that some pretty intriguing games that took place locally here in the area. All right, the Detroit Red Wings fell to the LA Kings last night 4-1, extending their losing streak to 5 games. The Wings got off to an early lead in the first period when Mike Green, he netted his 2nd goal of the season with just over 5 minutes left in the first period. From the first period on out, though, the Kings just completely dominated scoring two goals in the second period and two goals in the third period. The Wings look to end that losing streak against the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night at Little Caesars Arena. Puck drop scheduled for 7:30 p.m. How about the Detroit Pistons, though? After defeating the Boston Celtics 118-108 on Monday, the Pistons will return home to LCA tonight to host the not-so-good Phoenix Suns. The Suns, who drafted Detroit native and former Kansas star Josh Jackson in the first round during the offseason, come in struggling with an 8-14 record, while Detroit has moved into the second spot of the Eastern Conference with a 13-6 record. Tobias Harris led the attack against the Celtics, 31 points, 8 boards for him. And how good was Andre Drummond? He had 26 points, 22 boards, and Reggie Jackson scored 20 points and also chipped in 7 assists. Tonight's tip time is set for 7 p.m. And pretty cool stuff here, Isaac. I know you'll like this news when it comes to Detroit being a finalist to possibly snag an MLS team. Detroit, along with 3 other cities, will present bids to land a Major League Soccer franchise in front of the league's expansion committee on December 6th in New York. The MLS Board of Governors will meet and discuss the expansion with a goal of awarding 2 franchises for 2020 by the end of the year. Now the D is competing against bids from Cincinnati, Nashville, and Sacramento. Based on what you've seen here locally in Michigan, Isaac, I mean, it's really impressive, the soccer fandom that we see as it pertains to Michigan State men's and women's program here in East Lansing. How about what Jeremy Sampson has done with Lansing United? They made an announcement earlier, actually a few months ago this year, that they will be expanding that franchise to now include a women's Lansing United minor league soccer franchise. With that being said, I mean, if Lansing is any sample size of the possibility of how successful an MLS team in Detroit could be, you got to feel pretty good about this bid, right?
Well, I think the sample size, too, is Detroit City FC, which routinely draws 4,000 people to see Le Rouge out in Detroit, and they actually just moved stadiums as well. That team's been hugely successful, so it's really going to be interesting to see what the appeal here is. Now, the thing I want to see is where the stadium would go. We've heard about a few different types of bids. One is a new stadium itself in the new district for Detroit, but we also heard about Ford Field possibly getting a setting as well when it comes to soccer in Detroit. So them being in the Final Four, for me, that was the toughest barrier for Detroit. So once they're in it, I think they beat out Cincinnati at least. Mm-hmm. It's up to them to beat up the other two. But we'll see how that goes. I'm excited for Detroit. I hope they get one, because you can't have a major sports league in America without having Detroit a part of it. We know that.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, in Cincy, you know, Nashville, Sacramento, I think Detroit has a pretty good shot at possibly landing that bid to have an MLS team in the D. I'm just curious to see if the attendance can be, you know, consistent throughout a year. Mm-hmm. And they should outrule ties.
Yeah,
I love that idea. Just outrule ties. I hate ties in soccer. There I go ranting about ties in soccer again. But yeah, very cool stuff there. And bittersweet moment set for Sunday, folks. The city of Pontiac formally announced yesterday that the historic Pontiac Silverdome, former home of the Detroit Lions, the Detroit Pistons also played there a few times. The Pontiac Silverdome will begin, to be demolished starting on Sunday. Crews will begin the demolition, highlighted by an explosion to kick off the year-long destruction. That will take place on Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Now, the blast, which is needed to break metal beams on the perimeter of the stadium that once kept the roof inflated, will be broadcast all over social media and multiple media outlets. There will also be a viewing area open to the public to witness the explosion. So the Pontiac Silverdome will be coming down this Sunday. Bittersweet stuff there, but long overdue, because that venue has just been sitting and rotting for way too long. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, you can check out the live stream via facebook.com/currentsports and weigh in via Twitter as well.
at Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle. And you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Alabama's resume, even though it's weak, it's better than Wisconsin's resume.
It's better.
That is a slim line. And we're talking about an Alabama team that in their last few games, they got handled by Mississippi State. They got handled by Auburn. And so as we're looking at this thing, we say, and Herb always says, we're looking at the teams right now and what they look like, the four best teams. Alabama in the last 3 weeks has not looked like the Alabama that we're giving them credit for just by their record.
I think Alabama right now is going to try and make the argument Ohio State made a year ago. Okay, we didn't win our division. We're not playing in the conference championship game. We only have one loss. Lost it on the road to a good opponent. The difference between last year's Ohio State team, though, and this year's Alabama team, Ohio State's resume last year was so much stronger. They beat a ranked Oklahoma team, Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin. And again, we look at Alabama on the field, eye test, thumbs up. But you cannot ignore the resume, Booger. With LSU and Mississippi State as Alabama's two best wins, that's what's holding them back.
And that is how we kick off this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. Engineer Isaac Constance, how you feeling today, brother?
Feeling good. Yeah, I rode my bike again. Gosh, the weather is turning up a little bit in Michigan.
It's crazy. It was in the 60s. It was like 62 degrees yesterday, I know. Today, it's about 45, may hit 50, I know, today. And, you know, it's funny. I was walking down on the first floor of the Com Arts building. Got to get me a banana like you usually do.
You know,
it's like my breakfast. Still haven't even eaten it yet, though. I mean, it's just sitting here on the table right now. But I ran into you, man, and you looked a bit tired, dude. I know finals are right around the corner.
And that's
the
thing.
You got to get some rest, man.
Yeah, it's right around that time of year where school's coming down. And, you know, I mean, it's just a few weeks left in the semester. So you're trying to fit everything in. But you also got, what, I mean, just hypothetically, right? You got five articles due by next Wednesday that you're not stressed about at all, right?
So, Not at all, man. But no, you're like me. I'm pretty sure you're not getting much sleep around this time of the year, right, when you're a college kid and you know finals are looming on the horizon.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't get much sleep anyway. I'm just a night owl. And tell you what, The Punisher on Netflix, if you're looking for something to watch, The Punisher is unbelievable.
How many episodes through are you?
I just watched the first episode.
Okay, I'm two in.
And I'm like hooked. I mean, that first episode was like, what? And Marvel, they're ruthless. And I mean, they went there with this episode. Mm-hmm. So, so you're already on. I don't even need to remind you. So our listeners out there, if you're looking for something to watch other than sports, of course, check out The Punisher on Netflix. It's pretty good. All right. Well, you just heard the fellas on ESPN. We took a snippet from last night's ESPN college football playoff selection show, as you know, many of the analysts are dissecting what the committee had to say when it comes to the latest batch of rankings, the final pre-rankings before the real deal, McNeil, takes place on Sunday at noon. Sunday at noon, we will know which teams are in, which teams are out, who's playing in what ball game, everything will be solidified come this Sunday. But I'll tell you this. Last night was one of the most anticipated rankings. Probably the most anticipated rankings of the 2017 season. Because if you look at what took place last weekend, number one and number two both went down. The Alabama Crimson Tide lost in the Iron Bowl to arch rival Auburn, the Tigers. And then we saw the Hurricanes, the U, Miami, losing just a bit of a head scratcher to former Michigan State University defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi, the head coach at Pittsburgh. Yeah, Miami falling to Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Panthers, who aren't even bowl eligible right now. But, you know, it's quite ironic because Pittsburgh, I mean, they're starting to be known as now, you know, Narduzzi's team is starting to be known now as, you know, like the world beaters. Remember when they beat Clemson, you know, and then Clemson goes on, you know, they upset Clemson. Clemson still gets in the college football playoff, and Clemson goes on to beat Alabama to win the national championship. So if you look at how things panned out, just to go through the top 10 right now, and I'm going to get to Michigan State University right now because I want to ask you Spartan fans out there who are listening, and I see a few of you are already chiming in via our Facebook page live stream and giving your thoughts on this question. Where do you think the Spartans will end up when it comes to their bowl game? Where will they be? Will they be out in Tampa for the Outback Bowl? Will they be in the Citrus Bowl, the Holiday Bowl, the Orange Bowl? Where do you think the Spartans will land? I'll break down that in just a moment. But first, when it comes to the top 10, this is how your playoff picture looks as of right now, as of last night. Numero uno, the Clemson Tigers. Two, Auburn. Three, Oklahoma. Four, Wisconsin. Isaac, we chatted about this on yesterday's show. We both predicted that's the obvious top four, right? The obvious top four. Now, sitting on the outside looking in, you have at number five, Alabama. Number six, Georgia. And then from there, you've got number seven, Miami. Number eight, Ohio State. Number nine, Penn State. And then number 10, USC. That is how your top 10 pans out. And again, top four, Clemson, Auburn, Oklahoma, Wisconsin. Bama and Nick Saban looking just on the outside, looking in. And number six, you have Georgia. Now, when it comes to what the committee is trying to say here, it's pretty obvious. There are six teams that control their own destiny on this championship week, okay? Those six teams are, obviously, Clemson, Auburn, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Miami. Those are your six teams. And if they handle business this weekend in their respective conference championship games, they're in. You win and you are in. Clemson will take on Miami in the ACC championship game. That game will take place out in Charlotte on Saturday night. The Tigers, looks like they will, you know, maintain that number one seed should they beat the Miami Hurricanes. And the Hurricanes right now are foaming at the mouth. Now, don't get me wrong. I watched that game. A lot of our listeners are probably going to be jealous about this one, Isaac. I watched that game on the golf course down in Miami with my stepdad while it was taking place. And we were streaming it, live streaming it as it took place. I tell you what, that Pittsburgh defense, that's Pat Narduzzi for you. That Pittsburgh defense, it doesn't matter who you're playing. They are always stout every single year, and they can give any big dog problems. And that's what happened. That's what happened this past weekend with Miami. And, you know, Malik Rozier, probably the worst game he's played all year. He was not great. He actually got benched in the second half, and they put in the sophomore quarterback for a stint, and he didn't play well. Then Malik comes back in the game. The U just didn't play like they usually play. Give Pat Narduzzi and Pittsburgh credit, though. But even with that loss, the U still has all of its goals right in front of them right now. The winner of the ACC championship game is going to get in. All right. And, you know, even though Miami right now is situated at that number seven spot, the Hurricanes, if they beat Clemson, I think they will get in as maybe a number three or number four seed as a one loss ACC champ. Do you agree with that, Isaac? That's my first point.
No doubt about it.
All right. Auburn and Georgia now in the SEC championship game out in Atlanta. That will take place on Saturday afternoon. The Tigers will get in and how in. I said this statement 2 weeks ago. From top to bottom, I said that Clemson is the most complete team in college football. I have to retract that statement when looking at Auburn right now. I think Clemson is the number two most complete team in college football.
So the Tigers still are.
The Tigers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Tigers are still right. Yeah, the Paw is what, as I like to call. I like to call Clemson, you know, the Paw. But, you know, you look at Auburn, dude, from top to bottom, this team is so good. So Auburn will play Georgia in the SEC championship game. Again, ATL Saturday afternoon. The Tigers will get in if they win the SEC, as they will have beaten now Georgia twice and Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide, which I'll get to. I'm going to get to Bama in just a moment. Alabama Crimson Tide in a four-week span. It is so impressive. One of the most impressive stretches in college football history that we've seen. Georgia is number six, but will finish in the top four and make the playoff if it does knock off Auburn in a rematch. Make no mistake about that. The winner of the SEC championship game will get in. Now, I do like Auburn. I think they're the most complete team in college football, but they are a bit banged up heading into this weekend's championship game. Oklahoma will play number 11, TCU. The Horned Frogs, which are 10-2 on the year in the Big 12 championship game in Arlington, come this Saturday. Now, a one-loss Big 12 champ absolutely gets in. The Sooners, I believe, could be the number one overall seed if Clemson and Auburn, you know, maybe falter in their conference title bouts. Oklahoma right now, though, best offense in the nation, bar none. And on that offense, it's led by who I believe now to be the leading candidate in the Heisman Trophy race, that being quarterback Baker Mayfield. So the winner, and question, Isaac, if TCU somehow, some way knocks off Oklahoma, TCU would sit at 11-2 on the season. They would be the Big 12 champ. I think they could make a small case that they deserve to be in that number as well.
A few things
would have to happen. Those four teams, a few other teams have to fall in their conference championship games. But I agree with what Kirk Herbstreit had to say last night. I think that, you know, if you have TCU knocking off Oklahoma, and if a few upsets happen, TCU can make a little argument there. I do believe that as well.
I think they can make an argument. I don't think they can make the playoff, though, because they don't deserve to leapfrog Ohio State if Ohio State beat Wisconsin. That's the only chance they'd have whatsoever of making a case in the first place, because if both teams were to win, they'd have the same record, 11-2, but Ohio State has the better resume. They'd have played better teams. They'd have beaten, in my opinion, at least as good of a team in the conference championship, or at least as according to the committee rankings.
Right.
So, no, they would not beat Ohio State. With that being said, it would be a glimmer of hope, and nonetheless, might as well get your hopes up if you're TCU. You don't have much of that recently. But their only big games this year, they lost to Iowa State. They beat Oklahoma State. That's their big pinnacle win of the season. But if they can't beat Oklahoma, you know, I mean, obviously, they don't deserve a crack. If they can beat Oklahoma, I don't know. I mean, they just don't have the resume.
There would be there'll have to be some pretty big upsets, you know, if TCU was to get in. But I do believe they're a small case there. They're growling. They're not barking.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, oh, you know, I may deserve to get in here. You know what I mean? But that's going to be a really good game. I think TCU and Oklahoma, I'm going to be locked into that one. I think it's going to be a really fun game. And then, of course, the Big Ten. Ah, the Big Ten. Yes, lastly, the undefeated Wisconsin Badgers will play number 8 Ohio State. Ohio State sitting at 10-2 on the year in the Big Ten championship game. That game will take place at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, the committee is telling us that, hey, don't think for a second that an undefeated Big Ten championship team like the Wisconsin Badgers is not making the playoff. All right? If they don't, though, if Wisconsin is to lose, and I predicted this game, you know, yesterday's current sports, Isaac, and you agreed, we both don't think that Wisconsin's going to beat Ohio State. You can't put in Ohio State. Wisconsin is the only hope the Big Ten has in getting in, because you know why? That Iowa loss is so nasty. That Iowa loss is just, I mean, you look at that, 30-plus points?
I know.
You lost to the Iowa Hawkeyes by more than 30 points. How in the world can you put the Ohio State Buckeyes in? I agree the eye test. When you look at this team from top to bottom, and you look at this offense, when they are humming, they can beat anybody in the nation. But my goodness, nobody in the top tier of teams here has a bad loss like that. The Iowa Hawkeyes, Isaac.
The one thing I'd say, though, in defense of Ohio State,
come on, dude.
We're holding two losses against them, but we're not giving them enough credit for how they've played recently. Isn't the reason why we love Auburn that they've played well in recent stretches? Ohio State has looked just as good.
But they didn't lose to Iowa.
They didn't lose to Iowa.
Come on,
but
man.
They lost to LSU when LSU was at its lowest point in the season.
LSU is not Iowa.
No,
all right.
They're not Iowa. I'm not saying they're Iowa, but we could be looking at a number one seed, conceivably. It is very possible if Clemson loses in their conference championship to Miami, Auburn will be the first college football playoff
with two losses.
One seed ever with two losses.
Exactly.
And gosh, they'd be a one seed without even a good loss for one of them.
Right.
Ohio State, under that logic, might deserve to get in.
No.
But they need help. They need help.
They need two big losses.
They need Oklahoma to go down, of course.
And then they need
to beat Wisconsin. But they're not that far out. They're a strong number eight
Still,
seed.
I just think the committee, they're going to look at it and say, oh, we're putting in Nick Saban. We're putting in Nick Saban. Oh, Ohio State, we're putting in
I don't have a problem with that, though.
And I have no problem with that either.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that at all. I mean, you can't lose. You can't get blown out by 30-plus points to the Iowa Hawkeyes and get in the playoff. Come on, man. Speaking of Alabama, final point here before we hit this first break. You know, the one team in that top six that is in the weirdest spot, considering their recent success in college football, right, is the Alabama Crimson Tide. No doubt about that, because they don't control, their own destiny. They don't have a game this weekend. They're not playing in the SEC championship game. By losing that Iron Bowl to Auburn, a one-loss Alabama team will not get to play in what would have been its fourth SEC championship game in a row. So, number five. They played a really lollipop schedule, played really nobody. Best win is against your LSU Tigers. The Tigers actually, coming off a bye. Looking at this game, it's not really promising that Alabama will move up and get into the top four this year. And because you look at things and it's so tight right now, and the committee is going to have a really tough decision come this weekend, because we know that the ACC and the SEC champion is getting in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to put in, are you going to put in two teams from one conference? You know, that's a debate I kind of kicked around as well, because that's two tickets punched right there. You know, ACC, SEC champ is getting in. If Oklahoma and Wisconsin win, they are in. So what is Alabama to do? You know, who should the Crimson Tide root for? You know, some would say that Alabama should pull for, you know, Ohio State. But that may, and again, to play devil's advocate with myself here, that may not be the thing, because you look at Ohio State, you look at overall competition, Ohio State's resume looks better when it comes to the teams they played despite the horrible 30-plus point loss to Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Their resume looks better than Alabama's, because Alabama right now, they haven't played anybody. But I just think the committee, they look at Alabama and they go goo-goo gaga. You know, and they say, oh, my gosh, that's Nick Saban. We can't leave him out. So, you know, a two-loss Big Ten champ Buckeyes team, you know, they may have the more intriguing resume over Alabama. Now, Ohio State would have, you know, more wins over, you know, Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship, and wins over top 15 division rivals in Penn State and, of course, Michigan State as well. So right now, Ohio State, you know, rooting for Ohio State is not what Crimson Tide fans need to do this weekend. Instead, you know, I think they must put their faith in that, you know, that TCU Oklahoma game, you know, hoping that number 11 TCU can knock off Oklahoma. Maybe that opened things up to put Alabama then a two-loss Big 12 champ TCU is not getting in. Neither is a two-loss non-conference champion Oklahoma team. So I think there's a window possibly for Bama to get in. And then final point when it comes to Auburn, you know, Auburn moved up from number six to number two. The selection committee was not ready to do what they've done so far this year to put in, you know, a two-loss team. You know, you look at what happened with Penn State last year. They were rolling, humming, mm-hmm. right? They weren't ready to do last year with Penn State what they will now do with Auburn. Auburn, you know, if they end up beating Georgia in the SEC championship game, again, as I stated, Isaac, I think that they may have put together the greatest, 4-week stretch that college football has ever seen. It's really amazing what they've done. The Tigers will have beaten its two biggest rivals in Georgia and Alabama at home when they were ranked number one in the country. Wow. Then the Tigers will have beaten cross-divisional foe Georgia for the second time in the SEC championship when the Bulldogs were a one-loss team ranked number six in the country. And as we've said all along, you know, the winner of number two, Auburn and Georgia, will make the college football playoff, period. And, you know, 11-2, the Tigers, as you stated, Isaac, they have a realistic shot as a number one team in the four-team playoff, the first number one team that will have two losses, mm-hmm. and I think they will be deserving of that. So we've talked a lot about this college football playoff. I want to get your thoughts. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. I'll get to a few of your comments via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports in just a moment. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll briefly talk about your Detroit Football Lions. What are the chances that the Lions will make the playoffs? We'll also talk Pistons with James Edwards III. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just wrapped up segment A, chatting about the college football playoff and implications. Heading into the championship week now, you know, what could possibly happen? There are so many different scenarios. And, you know, I also asked our listeners to chime in on Michigan State, which sits at, 16th? Last night was what Michigan State's ranking was from the College Football Playoff Committee. And I'm asking you all, where does Michigan State sit when it comes to a possible bowl game? And what I'm seeing, you know, when it comes to various media outlets out there, there are a few bowl games that Michigan State could possibly play in on New Year's Day. The Citrus Bowl, that will take place out in Orlando, Florida. Right now, the odds makers have it 5-1 that Michigan State will play in the Citrus Bowl. So, you know, the Citrus Bowl can choose a Big Ten team as long as the conference is not represented in the Orange Bowl. The league champion also cannot play in the Citrus Bowl. If Penn State is out of the New Year's Six, it will really become attractive to have, and I think a really obvious choice to have, Michigan State in Orlando for that game. So that's what's sitting at the top of the board right now. Citrus Bowl, New Year's Day, Orlando, Florida. The bowl game that we've been hearing a lot often, you know, throughout the second half of the season for Michigan State is the Outback Bowl. That is also a New Year's Day bowl game that will take place out in Tampa, Florida. The odds makers have it at 9-1 that Michigan State will play in the Outback Bowl. 50-1 odds have it that Michigan State will play on December 28th in the Holiday Bowl. That's on the West Coast out in San Diego, California, home of Ron Burgundy, San Diego. And then you have on December 30th of the Orange Bowl that will take place in Miami. The odds makers have it 500-1 that Michigan State will play in that game. But right now, you know, leading the pack, you know, we were, you know, saying Outback Bowl for a long time, Isaac. Heck, there was even a representative from the Outback Bowl in the Michigan State football press box handing out pamphlets for the Outback Bowl and little Outback Bowl pins mm-hmm. And all signs pointed to the Outback Bowl, but it looks like right now, and who knows what could happen this weekend, you know, depending on what happens this weekend, that could shake up things a bit as well. But right now, 5-1 odds that Michigan State will play in the Citrus Bowl January 1st out in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, I saw other predictions too. Still, LSU is a common pick, but Notre Dame I saw get a mention. I would not want that personally. I mean, I've seen enough of Notre Dame for a few seasons, safe to say. At least, maybe it's just them coming up on the basketball schedule too, but we know how that one goes. Give them a new team. And I like the Big Ten SEC idea. Another idea that I think's interesting, and a team that got talked about a lot last night, UCF. You know, the undefeated, Golden Knights, who are 11-0. They had a game canceled earlier this year, but they've got their own outside scream. They're not getting in, but some people think they deserve a chance at the playoff because that's what it's all about, giving the young guys a chance to go out and prove themselves. They don't deserve it because they've got a cupcake schedule.
They got a cupcake, and you know, the conference they play in and all that kind of stuff.
No chance. And their best game was Memphis, which I think is the one that was canceled anyway. So
The only chance UCF would have in getting in a playoff is if they expanded. That's the only chance they have in getting in. But I've come to the other. I was telling current sports intern Jacob Herbert this. You know, he's in studio right now, just taking pictures and whatnot. He's got a class project. Shout out to Jacob Herbert. I was talking to Jacob during one of the breaks, and I like the playoff at four. I've come around and said, because just look at what we're doing right now. We spent the last 40 minutes, Isaac, talking about the different scenarios. It makes it exclusive. People are going to get angry and riled up and emotional about this. The ratings are going to be through the roof, I think, come this year because it's so intriguing. Teams that you didn't expect to be there. Four is so exclusive, and people get so emotional when it comes to college football already. It makes it fun, man. It makes it fun instead of letting everybody into the party. I will say that. I like it from the standpoint of drama. And drama sells, man. Drama sells.
You had those same emotions, though, with the BCS championship.
You did.
Those two teams.
Not like this, Isaac.
I know what you're saying.
Not to this
but
level.
But with two teams, still had the argument, should I be in, should
you
I not? You could make
computer.
Your own debate
it's
of
hard to
whether
argue
I
with
won
the
suit or championship.
Arguing with humans when it comes to the committee is different than a computer and a system. You know what I mean?
I hear you. But I'm saying you still had that sense of unfairness. It's the same reason I want refs to be entirely automated in sports. I like the controversy, but that's why I'm advocating for a 16 playoff. You still get that. Not everybody gets in, but there's a room, there's a space for that underdog, that undefeated Western Michigan Broncos team to show how good are we. You know what? We'll probably get clobbered in the first round,
but what
if they don't? You know, I mean, it's just fun because part of the reason they expanded it was to accommodate these smaller teams. It's obvious that's not happening right now. Like I said, UCF is not one of the better non-Big Five conferences conference representatives that I've seen. But at the same time, I want some of them to at least get a shot. The good ones to get a shot.
And from that standpoint, I totally get it. I mean, that's what makes March Madness so beautiful when it comes to college basketball.
Exactly.
Seeing, Florida Gulf Coast come out of nowhere and make it to a Sweet 16, right? I mean, that's what makes it so fun. But I tell you what, man, I just sat back and, I got people blowing up my phone, my uncle calling me, and, I'm getting messages on Facebook left and right. People are happy with the top four, not happy with the top four. I love the drama.
MSU got in? You remember that?
Yeah,
I mean, all the drama surrounding that.
I know.
Certainly hyped up East Lansing.
Very true. All right, I won't get a chance to elaborate on the Honolulu Blue as much as I like because we do have our guest for today's current sports coming in a matter of minutes. But before I hit this final break and bring on James Edwards III of The Athletic Detroit, who covers the Detroit Pistons. I do just want to update you guys right now on the Detroit Lions playoff picture. The Lions, of course, sit at 6-5, coming off that loss to Case Keenum and the Minnesota Vikings, as you were trying very hard, I'm sure, on Thanksgiving Day to enjoy your turkey while watching that loss. But right now, you look at that 30-23 loss against the Vikings on Thanksgiving Day, it really has hurt the Lions' chances of possibly, not just winning the division in the NFC North, which I don't believe they're going to do now unless Minnesota just falls off the face of the earth. A lot of people forget that the Lions did win the first game against the Vikings earlier on in the season, but they do fall on Thanksgiving. But not only did it hurt their chances when it comes to the divisional race, but the overall, it really made a dent when it comes to the overall chances of making the playoffs, all right? Now, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Lions' playoff odds dropped 25 percentage points from last week. Right now, according to the FPI, the Lions have a 2% chance of winning the NFC North right now. Making the playoffs, the chances that the Lions will make the playoffs, that percentage is at 19%. And just for kicks and giggles, what are the chances, according to ESPN's FBI, we like the federal government, FPI, what are the Lions' chances of making the Super Bowl? Well, ESPN has it at less than 1%. Let that sink in. Yeah, not this year, Detroit. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will be chatting with James Edwards III of The Athletic Detroit. We'll talk about a team that is trending upward when it comes to Detroit professional sports, in contrast to the Lions and the Red Wings right now. They're on a bit of a losing streak. How about the Detroit Pistons? We'll talk Pistons with James Edwards III in just a moment. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have less than 15 minutes left in today's show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And real briefly before, oh, never mind. Just hung up. Ray, why'd you hang up on us, man? Oh, Ray from Indiana. I wanted to get to Ray from Indiana to chime
Ray
in.
Ray just called back.
Oh, he called back. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, he's so dedicated. I, as soon as I said, Ray, where'd you go? He calls right back. Ray, quick call, because I do want to get a quick update from James Edwards III on the Detroit Pistons. But Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up, man?
God isn't only good, he's great. You know, the Bullies were up 14-0. That looked bad for me. Then they outscored him 31-6. Jimmy, you're the Messiah, right? 1-7 against top 10 teams. 1-5 against Michigan State and Ohio State. Bye-bye, Jimmy. It's going to be time to go here in another year or two.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, things aren't great out in Ann Arbor, and I saw, I'm sure you saw this, Ray, Wilton Spate, now former quarterback for the University of Michigan. He has decided to transfer, so we'll have a quarterback battle between O'Korn and Peters next year.
Well, we might have to put Jimmy back on redshirt him.
That was great.
You know, it's been 30 years, maybe he can come in there and get drilled a few times.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you so much, man.
Bye-bye, Bullies.
Ray, the one, the only Ray from Indiana, always finding a way to take a jab at the Wolverines. All right, well, let's talk Detroit Pistons. How about the Pistons season so far this year? I mean, oh my goodness, I'm on cloud nine. You guys know I'm a diehard Pistons fan, and right now I want to talk the red, white, and royal blue with James Edwards III, Detroit Pistons beat reporter for The Athletic. James, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, Al. Thanks for having me on. You're gonna make me follow Jimmy from Indiana.
I know that's tough to follow, isn't it, James? I tell you what,
yeah,
he always brings
on
the heat.
that was good. That was good.
Definitely, man. But James, you know, you look at the Pistons right now, and you know, approaching that game against the Boston Celtics earlier this week. I mean, coming into that game against Boston, the Pistons sitting at 12-6. You know, now of course that, you know, they hit that 13 win mark. But, you know, you look at 12-6, and I read that it's the best 18-game start to a season for the Pistons since they started 13-5 in the 07-08 year. The last time, that was the last time they made the Eastern Conference Finals. What is different about this team this season, James?
It's a bunch of different things. I think we talked earlier this year, one thing that's still kind of proven to be true is guys are getting a role. They got a role. They're excelling in their role, and they're not trying to do more than their role asks of them. I think it's a credit to Stan Van Gundy. He's got Andre Drummond playing the best basketball of his career so far. He's become more of a factor in terms of the offense. They're not, and not necessarily shots. He's taken less shots, but he's They're giving him the ball. They're allowing him to be a passer, a facilitator to create space for others. Tobias Harris's shooting has been one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA through the first 19 games. Avery Bradley's not only a menacing defender, but he's also a really good offensive player. Reggie Jackson looks healthy. Stanley Johnson's really building into his role as a defensive stopper and kind of a leader on the defensive end. It's a lot of pieces that are kind of coming together and forming one good thing. Even the bench, you look at the bench, it's kind of a good yin and yang with the starters. You bring Ish Smith, change of pace point guard. Langston Galloway comes in for Avery Bradley, who's a shooter. You got guys like Anthony Tolliver who come in and bring defense and three-point shooting. It's a very good team from top to bottom, but they're all doing their individual things necessary to make the whole work, and I think we've seen that early on.
And to go back what you stated about, you know, Andre Drummond, James, I mean, Andre Drummond, he became the first Pistons player with 25 points, 20 boards, and 5 assists in a game since Bob Lanier did so back in 1977. 14th game with 20 points and 20 rebounds. That's the most in the NBA since 2013. Andre Drummond, I've always said that he has that kind of, well, I should say this kind of capability in him. For me, it was just an effort question. What are you seeing from an emotional standpoint that's different when it comes to Andre Drummond this season?
Well, Monday night in Boston was kind of the first showing of him being energized from start to finish. He was amazing in that game on the defensive end, offensively, the way he attacked the rim and the pick and roll, the way he attacked the glass. But the thing with this year is he has improved his energy, but there's been times, and Stan has attested to this, where he doesn't. It takes maybe a little bit to get going. He'll start games a little bit slow, as the rest of the starters have. Detroit has not had good starts for much of these 19 games. Mm-hmm. Boston was one of the ones where that was not an issue. But Andre's been playing a lot better in the second half, or even the last three quarters compared to the first quarter. And I think it just takes him a little bit to get going. I think it takes this team a little bit to kind of get used to their opponent and get rolling, individual guys as well. And I think you can see the improved energy. You can see the improved focus. And again, I think that attests to Stan credit to Stan for that, for getting guys to buy into these new roles and what he wants from them.
James, the Pistons sit number 2 in the NBA's Eastern Conference. And as, of course, we've been mentioning throughout the hour, they knocked off the Eastern Conference leading Boston Celtics. But you look right behind the Pistons, LeBron James is out of his mind right now. The Cleveland Cavaliers have won 9 straight games despite LeBron getting his first ejection throughout his 15-year NBA career last night, right? Where realistically do you see the Pistons finishing in the NBA's Eastern Conference this season?
So going into the year, I was probably a little more optimistic than most. I thought that they had a good team, and I think that if this was going to be the last go-around, I think you would see some improvement, and that's what it's been. And I thought going in, they should be disappointed if they didn't grab a 6 or 7 seed. I thought a best-case scenario was a 4th or 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm at the point where, I mean, you don't want to say disappointed because it's still a long season. We have 75% to go, but the way that they've been playing, and if everything stays intact in terms of health and consistency, they should be disappointed if they don't get a 4 or 5 seed. I think that's now where we're at in terms of the bare minimum. This team has proven that they can beat the best teams in the league. They've proven it consistently. They have some bad losses. The Lakers loss is a bad one. Getting blown out by Cleveland is a bad one. They were coming off a decent stretch when they played Cleveland, but now there's a test tonight in Phoenix, who's not a good team. They're coming off a win over OKC and a win over Boston. Now this is kind of one of the ones where they get to rectify those early losses and show that they've come a long way. But I'm at the point now where it's like, do we know for sure we've seen enough basketball? Are there 4 or 5 teams better than the Pistons in the Eastern Conference? I would say no. So they should be shooting for one of those top 4 seeds. I don't necessarily think it'll be number 1. But, I mean, they've proven that they can beat the best team in the East, so who's to say it's not?
Very true. James, we only have 2 minutes left, but I do want to ask this question because, you know, it's irked me multiple times throughout this year when I turn on my Detroit Pistons and I look at the fandom at, or lack thereof, at Little Caesars Arena. A lot of empty seats. I'm wondering now, with the Pistons, you know, with people starting to notice this team a bit more based on them sitting at 13-6 early in the year, are the fans coming out more?
We haven't been home in a little bit. Tonight won't really be telling either because Phoenix isn't good.
Right.
So it'll probably be, and then we're on the road again for another 6 days. But when we come back next Friday, it's Golden State, ESPN. So I'm sure the fans will show out for that one. That's an anomaly. The thing with the crowd is, I mean, they were 10-3 and they were at home at a point and people weren't coming. I think it's more just a trust thing. I don't know if people have necessarily trust the Pistons. It's early in the season. Maybe they don't want to buy in and get invested and then they let them down. That's kind of what history has said these past couple of years. But it's also they're kind of catering to a new fan base. They're no longer in Auburn Hills. They're downtown Detroit. They're trying to get fans from different areas of the city, different areas of the state now, and that's not going to happen overnight. And then on TV, when you watch the Pistons, you usually only see the top four or five rows, top one through five rows. And those top couple rows are for people who have access to, like, the Players Club, the lounge. They get free food and drinks.
Right.
So, I mean, yes, there are empty seats throughout the rest of the arena. The Cleveland game was absolutely packed, so it shows that when there's a good team in town that people will show up. But those bottom seats are for people that they go get free drinks. I had a guy tell me the other day that he was at the Red Wings game and they had those seats, and his buddy's a diehard Red Wings fan, but he wanted to go get the free food and drinks and watch the game from in the players' lounge. So there's stuff like that. It's tough to park there. So there's certain things, but I mean, you win, people will come. I just don't think it's going to happen overnight, as most people seem to want it to be.
If you build it, they will come. Well, fantastic job, James Edwards III, Detroit Pistons beat writer for The Athletic Detroit. You can follow him on Twitter at JL Edwards III, of course, for the third. And you can read his work on theathletic.com/Detroit. James, thank you so much for your time, my man. We'll be in touch.
Sounds good. Good talking to you guys.
All right. Well, with that being said, we have 30 minutes left. James is always fantastic, isn't he, Isaac? I tell you what.
Oh, great.
LeBron getting ejected. Surprising.
First
time in 15 years. He got a little heated. I like that. Show me some emotion, LeBron. All right, folks. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday edition of Current Sports. Be easy, people.